I'm so glad to be here this morning and there's sweet spirit this morning. Amen. You were singing so well and thrilled my heart. Made me glad I'm here. My wife usually sits on the front row when I preach. There's a commercial. I don't watch commercials on TV. I hate them. But there's one where this little parrot or some kind of bird goes, "I love you, Pookie Bear." Anybody else ever seen that one? Some of you just won't own up to it. Well, 15 or 20 times a day, I'm in my chair, she's in hers, and no matter what's going on, I'll just say, "I love you, Pookie Bear." And she has to say, "I love you, Huggy Bear." So I said I was going to say that this morning, and then she had to say back to me, "I love you, Huggy Bear." She said, "I ain't going to do it." And that's why she's on the back row. Oh, I'm going to be in trouble when I go home. I feel like the old man that was on his deathbed. And he loved chocolate chip cookies. And he was laying upstairs in the bedroom on his deathbed, just about gone. And he thought, "I smell chocolate chip cookies." And he said, "That's got to be a mistake. I dislike them so well, I think I'm just imagining it." And he laid there a little longer and he said, "No, I smell chocolate chip cookies." Well, he couldn't walk, so he rolled out of the bed onto the floor, drug himself to the stairs, slid down the stairs, crossed the dining room into the kitchen. Sure enough, his wife had just taken a big pan of chocolate chip cookies out of the oven. He crawled over to the counter, reached up, tried to get a cookie, and all of a sudden his wife slapped his hand, said, "Nat, those are for the funeral." It might be what it's going to be like when I go home today. So, I do love you, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. I've been looking at all the pictures of those in Mexico, and I saw a picture of the pastor and Zach knocking the door, handing out John and Romans, and I thought, what a blessing. There's my son and my grandson knocking on the door. Amen. Zach said he wasn't coming home, didn't he, Randy? He has allergies badly. I mean real bad. And he called home and said, "We're eating good, and I haven't blown my nose one time. I'm not coming home." Find Romans chapter 5, if you would. Pray for me this morning. I may be feeble in body, but God finds strength and glory in weakness. So you just pray for us this morning. Don't be distracted by my old feeble body, or if I stop and get a sip of water. Just pray for me. And don't think you can bring a Coca-Cola in here tonight, okay? So I've preached places before where you couldn't hear me over the microphone for all the candy wrappers going on. Amen. Raise your head. We're not praying yet. What are you looking down for? Romans chapter 5. Stand with us. Verse 20. Paul said, "Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. I thank you for our church family and every visitor that's here. And I pray that you'll let the Word of God speak to our hearts. And Lord, whatever decision we need to make today, we won't hesitate to bring it to you, because we love you and you are able. In Jesus' name, amen. If we put this passage of Scripture in context, we'd find that Paul has been building a case for salvation. We know that Paul said we're all sinners. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. And he tells us how salvation is gained by grace through faith. And now for the next three chapters, Paul's going to tell us, all right, how we should live. And I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on how dead men ought to live. See, some at Rome, and the reason Paul wrote that is because some of the people at Rome, they said, okay, if sin abounds and grace does much more abound, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's sin more so we get more grace. You know what's sad about that? There's so many today that really think the same way. Huh? I'm burdened this morning. God called me to preach 52 years ago, and I made a conscious decision that I would preach the Word of God and not compromise, and also that I would love folks and never preach with a mean spirit. And God's blessed that. And yet, this morning, I'm burdened. I'm burdened for our country. Oh, my soul. Sin abounds everywhere. Sin, and people sin, and then they try to justify it and think it's okay. But let me tell you something. Sin is sin. God never has changed his mind on sin. On everywhere you look today, you see adultery and lying and cheating, sodomy, hatefulness. Every bit of the politics system is corrupt. Amen. Alcohol, I get so sick of watching the news every morning, and I don't care what channel you go on, before that news program is off, they're gonna talk about booze. And they glorify it. They make it sound like it's all right, even though the Bible condemns it and warns against it. My soul, I'm burdened about families today. Parents are trying harder to be friends with their children instead of parents. Amen. I cringe and I cry when I see parents that are permitting, I'm talking Christian parents even, that permit so many things that years ago they never would have permitted. We hate and we talk and we are angry about those that abuse children and they lose their innocence, the children do, and we get mad at them, and yet we see parents that are giving away the innocence of their child. Amen. There's so much I don't understand. Why do girls pucker when they take a picture? You ever seen that? Every picture, and I'm talking about Christian kids. They take selfies. I'd have to have a wide angle lens. They take selfies, and every time they take a selfie, they go. You know why they do that? Because Miley Cyrus and a bunch of other ungodly people did it. Amen. And why do I'm not picking on girls today, but why do girls
when they take a picture, they pucker and they go like this. I think I've thrown something out right there, bro. Why do they do that? My soul, because some Hollywood person did it. We're to be like Christ, not like some Hollywood star. Amen. And by the way, why do parents, I'm not even to the message yet, why do parents buy clothes for their daughters that are immodest? I had a mother say to me not long ago, I hate what she wears. Then why'd you buy it? Amen. Amen. Burdened by the lives of Christians that I know. I enjoy posting a devotion every morning on Facebook and all that stuff. And be honest with you, I've been contacted by so many that I had lost contact with through the years. I had a young man 3 weeks ago. He popped up and sent a message and said, is this the brother B that won me to the Lord when I was a teenager? He's 40-some years old, and then I recognized his name, and I wrote back and said, yes, it is. He's in church still, raising his family. And I'm blessed by that. But it burns me and hurts me when I see saved people. They curse and post it. How can the sweet and the bitter come out of the same mouth, Jesus said. Amen. I had one young lady that I had in the youth department years and years and years ago. 40 years ago. And she said, well, I know I curse a little bit and I drink every once in a while, but I'm really a good person. Saved people ought not feel that way. We ought to be convicted about it. Huh? I have friends and family that do things that make my heart hurt. They post things about promoting ungodliness and worldliness, and they try to justify it. And don't they realize that they're making people comfortable in their sin? And when you're comfortable in your sin, that does away with wanting to repent. And yet Jesus said, repent. Soul, that's so sad. And you know what happens then? By their example and making people comfortable in their sin, and I hate to say this, but they are technically leading people to hell. And yet think they're doing okay. I think everybody in this room would agree that we need a revival. But you know, a revival starts right here. Starts with God's people. Amen. And Paul now is going to tell us three things that every child of God has to accept it to live in this world. And that is, be dead to sin. First of all, in verse 1 there in chapter 6, we have to accept the reality of their passing. In other words, they've passed from death unto life. They are to be dead to sin. You see, in verse 1 there's an argument. Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? See, Paul was so smart. He had the ability and the talent for knowing what somebody was going to say before they ever said it. So he was cutting their argument in the very beginning here. And if you look again at verse 20 in chapter 5, it says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." My soul, people today, now you listen to me. I believe in eternal salvation. When you're saved, you're saved. Amen. I've preached that. I believe the Bible teaches that. And yet, so many use that as an excuse. Huh? It's abused today. If someone does that, there's one of two things. Number one, they're not saved. Amen. Or you don't care what your life says about Jesus. Well, that's hard, isn't it? But it's true. So there's an argument, but then in verse 2, Paul gives an answer. God forbid. How shall we? That are dead to sin live any longer there. That's a short answer, but so very clear. Paul says, if you're dead to sin, how can you live in sin? He uses the death as an analogy of the Christian life. When you're saved, it's a reality. If you want to live for the glory of God, you have to die to sin, to yourself. Now, I know the old nature is still there. But if you will die, what you're doing is you're saying to Christ, I want to live for you. You say, I can't help but sin. Oh, yes, you can. You make a conscious decision about it. Huh? Look over at verse 11 there. Is it verse 11? Yeah, in chapter 6. Look what Paul said. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. In other words, Paul said, calculate or declare. I'm sorry, some of you city folks never use the word reckon. I reckon I'll go to the house. I reckon I'll go to the store. Why does that sound strange to you? What you're saying is, I declare, I'm going to go to the store. Or I'm going to go to the house. I calculate. I made a decision. And God makes it clear that we have to decide for ourselves. Look down at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. My soul. You make a decision. You don't have to sin. You're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. And the Bible teaches that for every temptation, God will provide a way of escape. Our problem is people don't want to escape. I go back to what I said a while ago. Revival starts with us, with the child of God. But it's not going to happen. You say, well, them dirty old rotten sinners, we can't have no revival because of them. Revival's not for them. It's for the saved. We got to first accept the reality of our passing, and then the reality of our position. There's placement. Paul's using that word, like I said, as an analogy there. And he goes on and uses the picture of water baptism. Is it you die? But notice what he says. As Christ died and was risen, so will we be. And so what happens is that we are placed. Did you know when you got saved, Jesus paid for your sins? And I don't know how many people have said to me in the past, yeah, but I've sinned since I got saved. You see, God, when he looks down, he sees the blood. Now you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ for the deeds and the works done in this body. That's true. But God sent His only begotten Son to pay for our sin. So when we trust Christ, we are really, and the Bible says, we're in Christ. So as we are placed back at the cross where Jesus died and paid for our sins, so are we also placed there where He risen from the grave. Man, my soul. And then there's participation. We are supernaturally forgiven. You ever had somebody say, or have you ever said, boy, I just can't get victory over that sin? It might be a habit. It might be a, you know, I know people that curse and don't even realize they're doing it. You know why? Because they've done it so long, they don't even know they're doing it. The way you get victory over it is you realize that you're dead to sin. They've not accepted the fact they're dead to it. We need to not justify our sin, but realize we're dead to sin. And then in verse number 4 there, back at 6:4, the second part of that verse says, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Hello, there it is. You also have to accept not only the reality of your passing and not only the reality of your position, but you have to accept the reality of your potential. You see, Paul makes a comparison, and oh, he reveals a thrilling truth to us. Not only did our sins die on the cross, but we are raised. Did you notice what he said in verse number 4? As Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There it is. We are to walk in newness of life. Now, here's how that's possible. Number one, realize you got a new nature. Peter said we are partakers of that divine nature. Yeah, we still got the old nature, but I don't have to let it boss me around. Amen. And then realize that we're not only are we got a new nature, but we're a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you still love your sin, you've never been saved, or you've not accepted the fact that you're a new creature. I'm glad. I thank the Lord. I'm a new creature, a new creation. And then Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 that we're also a new man. We're not the same. We're not the same we used to be. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. These hands are not my hands. These feet are not my feet. This mouth is not my mouth. These eyes are not my eyes. They belong to Jesus, not me. It's sad today that in the lives of so many Christians that their life would be described as the life or the night of the living dead instead of the life of the living Lord. We're to let Christ live through us. There's got to be some repentance. There's got to be some getting right with God. You know what's sad is in churches today, and I know I'm old school, and I know I'm a dinosaur, I know that. But I also believe in the old book. Seems like so many times we have done away with the altar. We have come to the conclusion, if God were to speak to my heart, I can take care of it sitting in my seat. You've heard me say hundreds of times probably the commitment that won't get you down the aisle probably won't get you out the door. We need to get back to the place where God's people, let's talk about revival, where God's people are willing to come to an old-fashioned altar and ask God for a revival. We got to get to the place where God's people realize they should be dead to sin and their sin in their lives, and God's people will come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Use me. Until that happens, folks, because the other thing is, lost people need to realize that they're sorry for their sin and they change their mind about it. They've repented and they trust Christ as their Savior. There are people, probably in our own church here, that come week after week, never been saved, never trusted Christ, heard the message, justified their life, and went back home. Folks, that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And yet, are we willing to do what God asks us to do? I have, in the last 52 years, had the privilege of preaching with some of the great men down through history. Lee Robertson, Lester Roloff, Bob Gray, so many others I can't possibly remember. Unfortunately, I've had the misfortune of serving with some that were mean and forgot that when Christ found me, I wasn't looking for Him. He found me. And I realized I was a sinner and I need to be saved by grace. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you love Jesus? Do you? Huh? Do you? You're saved and you're so grateful, so thankful that no matter what God spoke to your heart about, you'd be willing to do it. In other words, have you died? Have you died to yourself? And you live for Christ? We can only make that decision for ourselves. There ought not a service go by that we're not praying, seeing people rededicate their life, praying for revival, and then seeing people constantly saved because we're dead to ourselves. Many people don't even want to talk about that. People don't even want to mention the word death. Did you know death is a way of life? We're all going to die. Amen? And when I die, I want to be able to look my Savior in the face. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you?